Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 12, if you will. Revelation chapter number 12. The sermon title tonight is this, The Great Accuser. The Great Accuser. Revelation chapter 12. Once you've found Revelation 12, look at verse number 10. Stand with me, if you will, please. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. Let's stand. We're going to read one verse, and it will get us started with the sermon tonight. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Look back at me, if you will, please. Here it's talking about the devil being cast down. He's the accuser of the brethren. And I want you to understand what's happening here in this verse. It's a jubilant moment. You see, the devil, night and day, is accusing us to God, and now he has been cast down. And I think God is saying, I'm so glad that's over with. And I think that we all would say, I'm so glad that's over with, that devil accusing us to our God. So this is a highlight. This is a glorious thing. They're saying, finally, the old devil, he's been shut up. And thank God for it. And that's what's happening here. The title of the sermon is The Great Accuser. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. I know there are people in this room that are tired. They're weary. They worked all week. And then they gave of themselves into the night Friday night. And then back here early Saturday morning. And all day Saturday. And then again this morning on the bus routes in the Sunday school classes. And they're tired. God, I hope you look down and you see our church and you're pleased. We've worked at serving you this week. Father, we have yet a few minutes this evening that we'll share here at church. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen people's minds, strengthen my mind. May we finish strong this week in our service to you, our Lord. Holy Spirit of God, use this sermon to get glory to thyself, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. It said, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. You know, there are a lot of titles that God has given Satan. But one found in Revelation 12:10 is the accuser of the brethren. That may be one of the most vicious titles that's held by the devil. That thing called the accuser of the brethren. You know what that means? He's the troublemaker among God's people. He's the troublemaker in God's church. This part of his personality may be one of the most destructive parts of the devil's personality. You know, see, he's the great slanderer, if you will. Satan's accusations have destroyed the lives of many people. Satan's accusations have discouraged and hurt many people. The devil's accusations have stolen good reputations. Now, folks, let me tell you something. The accusations that man makes against us, like a church picnic, compared to what the master accuser, Satan, brings against us in accusing us to God. He is the accuser of all accusers. Satan is the slanderer of all slanderers. He is the ultimate false witness of false witnesses. I was reading, and back in May of 2015, I'm going to read something to you. It says, an Ohio man named Ricky Jackson was exonerated after 39 years in prison. Listen to this. An Ohio man was exonerated last fall after nearly four decades in prison for a murder he did not commit. Ricky Jackson was arrested and incarcerated following a 1975 Cleveland area slaying. It was the false accusation by Cleveland police detectives and those working in concert with them that led to Mr. Jackson's wrongful conviction. Jackson was 18 when he was first locked up and is now 58. With 39 years in prison, He's believed to have served the longest time behind bars for someone wrongly incarcerated and wrongly accused in the United States of America. Can you imagine? That man was in prison for 39 years for something he did not do because the great accuser got involved. The accuser of people. And I don't know if we understand it, but all of us are guilty of accusing. We all accuse. You know where it comes from? The originator of accusation. The great accuser. Now, we know he is a thief. He steals people's testimonies. We know he's a liar. He lies about people. We know that he's a deceiver. He deceives us about each other. He is the one that is behind all the chaos among the brethren. I call the sermon, The Great Accuser. Now, let me show you four ways that he accuses, or maybe five, or maybe six. The devil goes to God and accuses us to God. This great accuser, the Bible says in Job 1:6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Here's Job's story. Job loved God and he hated evil. But Satan approached God. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil's accusation to God about Job was this. He said, "God, Job only serves you because you put a hedge about him. Job only serves you, God, because of his health and his wealth. That's the only reason he serves you." It says in Job 1, verse 10 and 11, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" See, Satan is accusing Job to God. And it goes on and says, "Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." But he said, "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." So this is what happened. Satan goes to God and starts accusing Job to God. And he said to God, he said, "Look, you take care of him, but if you didn't take care of him so well, hey, Job would curse your face." Satan said, "Job won't stick with you, God." Satan said, "If Job had a bad enough day, he's going to turn on you, God." Thank God that later on, Job makes this statement. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." But Satan went to God to accuse Job in God's presence. So there he is. He went right to God and he said, "Let me tell you about this Job guy." Folks, I want you to understand, he does not do that just to Job. Satan is your accuser to God. And in Revelation 12:10, as we read it, it says, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down," amen, "which accused them before God day and night." That means night and day. Satan does not rest. Satan is right there at the throne of God saying, "Look at that. Look at her. Look at him. Look what they did. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about her. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about her. Let me tell you something bad about him. Let me tell you something bad about her." Before God, night and day. Hey, and it's no wonder when we read Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, where it said that he had been cast down. It's no wonder I was able to say it was a jubilant moment for everybody. Because if you've got somebody going to God day and night trying to make you look bad to God, number one, that would wear God out. I'm sure God wants to say, "Get away from me." But now, in Revelation 12, the accuser has been cast down, and God says, "I'm glad to have him off my back." But even better than that, you and I better thank God that Revelation 12 is coming, because there's coming a day when Satan's going to be cast down, and we don't have Satan going to God all the time saying, "Look at how bad she is. Look at how bad he is." Thanks be to God that God does not listen to Satan's slander against God's children. When you got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks in your defense. The devil says to God, he says, "That old Jeff Owens is a sinner." But God said, "Looks pretty good to me. Now, I don't look good because of me. I look good because of Jesus. But Satan is constantly saying, God, you better keep an eye on that Jeff Owens. You better keep an eye on that Jeff Owens. And God said, I got my eye on him. I got my eye on him. You see, the devil says that old Jeff Owens is a sinner. But God does not listen to that because my salvation makes me free from the penalty of death and my sin. The devil accuses us to God and says, they deserve hell. But God does not listen. The devil says, you ought to send that David Steed to hell. And God said, no doing. The devil says, you ought to send that Buck Brinklow to hell. And God says, no doing. And the devil says, but look at that. Look what they're doing. And God said, what I see is the pureness of Jesus Christ applied to their account. And the old devil accuses and accuses and accuses. And God said, thank God, Jesus is there to defend you. The devil tells God, that old Jeff Owens doesn't deserve your blessing. And God says, well, he's down there and he's trying hard and I'm going to bless him for Jesus' sake. You know, the devil accuses God about you. But thank God, Jesus is there to defend you. But he's the great accuser. And the Bible says, night and day, he's working on you and I and our reputation with God. But the blood of Jesus Christ trumps all of the accusation brought against us. And it's not because you and I are good. It's because we trusted the only good one, which is Jesus Christ. And so the great accuser accuses us to God. Then he says, you know what? Tell you what I'll do. God won't listen to my accusations. I'll accuse God to the Christian. See, God won't give in. God's a God of truth. God's a God of principle. So when the devil goes to attack you to God, God said, won't hear it. Satan said, well, I know what. Let's flip-flop this baby. I'm going to go to the Christian. And I'm going to accuse God to the Christian. I'll see if I can make the Christian believe some things about God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan came to Eve and said, hey, you won't die if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what happened? Satan was lying about God to Eve. See, Satan goes to talk to God about you, and God said, I won't hear of it. So Satan says, you know what I want to do? I'll go talk to the Christian and badmouth God to the Christian because I and the great accuser. If I can't get it done one way, I'll get it done another way. And if God won't listen to my accusation against them, maybe they'll listen to my accusation against God. And by the way, he gets this done. What happens here is Satan says to Eve, listen, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. What's that? You know, Satan is saying to Eve, listen, God's holding out on you. God warned you, you'd die, but you're not going to die. God is lying to you. God's holding out on you. God's not doing what's best for you. God is withholding something from you. Do you know how many times you as a Christian will look up to God and say, this is not fair? You wait a minute. God's always fair. Who told you to talk and think of God that way? I'll tell you who. The great accuser. Because he tried to get God to believe junk about you, but God wouldn't believe it. So now he's going to try to get you to believe junk about God. The devil accuses God of trying to keep us from the fun things of life. There are some of you. You say, you know what? If I go to this church, they're kind of straight-laced around here, and they don't go out and get drunk and party, and they're against all the immorality. You know what? But the devil come to you and say, you know, you go to that church and you're going to miss a lot of fun in life. That hey, they're going to keep good things from you. No, we're going to keep bad things from you. But the devil comes and he accuses, as it's saying, God's a thief. You start serving God in the right kind of church, you're going to miss out on a lot of things. Do you know who puts that thinking in your mind? The accuser. The accuser comes to you and tries to get you to believe, to sell out to God. You're going to miss something. There are people sitting under the sound of my voice right now. You have said to yourself, I will never be an old-fashioned fundamentalist. I'll never be separated. I'll never really get committed into the church. And I'll tell you why. Because the devil has your brain brainwashed to make you believe that you're going to miss out on all the good things. No, you will miss out on all the bad things. And the accuser has twisted your mind. You have believed his lie. You swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, and you're convinced you're going to have fun away from God. The devil has lied to you. The accuser went to tell God how bad you are, and God said, they're saved, they're under the blood. God said, I won't listen to it. So the accuser said, you know what I'll do? Then I'll go to the Christian, and I'll get them believing God is the cheat, and God will shortchange them, and God is the bad one. God's not bad. God's all good. The devil accuses God of putting too much on us. You're facing a burden right now. You heard your pastor say, God will never place more upon you than what you can handle. Oh, but the heavy day came. You thought you would be crushed under the weight. So you looked up to God and said, God, the preacher said you'd never put more on me than I can handle. And you have. You've been unfair to me, God. It's not right what I'm facing. Uh-oh. Who got you thinking that way? Who got you to believing accusations against God? I'll tell you who. The master accuser. The one that knows how to make those digs and destroy the reputation of God in your presence. Destroy the Scripture's reputation in your life. The devil accuses God of putting too much on us, and he whispers that in your ear. And you say, you know what? I think that's true. The devil whispers in your ear, these standards and living right and living above reproach, that's a little bit much. Who put that in your mind? The accuser. The great accuser. The accuser tries to tamper with God's reputation with his children. The accuser will say to you, God's not interested in you. But folks, God is interested in you. The accuser will say to you, God's not available to you right now. God's always available to you. The accuser will say to you, God doesn't really care about me. Well, God always cares about you. But God's not interested in me. God's always interested in you. But the accuser puts that in your thinking. Hey, I'm sure it was a great accuser that told Elijah under the juniper tree that he was the only one taking a stand for God. You understand? Elijah went out. He was under a juniper tree. He was depressed. He said, I'd just like to die. I wonder who got a hold of him. Elijah was out there saying, nobody in the world loves God. I'm the only one that's taking a stand. I'm the only one that believes the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God. I'm the only one that believes that people ought to live right, dress right, act right. And I'm the only one that believes you should not be listening to bad music. I'm the only one that believes that. And it's pretty depressing, and it's not fair. Well, you know something? You're not the only one that believes that. And whoever told you that was a liar. It was the accuser of righteousness, the accuser of God. I'm sure when Daniel was in the lion's den, I'm sure the devil was there saying, buddy, you glad you prayed now? Hey, hot shot, you glad that you did what you normally did and went to prayer three times a day? The devil will come to you and he'll start accusing God to you. The accuser tells us God's promises won't come true. The accuser wants us to doubt God's goodness. The accuser wants to doubt God's concern for us. The accuser wants to undermine God's authority in our life. Has the devil recently spoken to you negatively about God? You say, I don't understand this. This is not right. This is not fair. The Bible must not be true. I was tithing and giving like I was supposed to, and I've still had a financial setback. The Bible must not be true. I'm very sorry, my friend. Your financial setback does not disprove the validity of the Bible. But the devil comes and says, well, I thought if I did this, God would do that. And you didn't get out of it what you wanted to get out of it. And the devil comes and says, see, I told you, but just a bunch of trickery. It's just a bunch of hocus pocus. And the devil will start putting that kind of junk in your brain. Listen, what doubtful thoughts has the accuser sown in your mind about God? The accuser tells you, that to trust yourself and not God. That's one of the dumbest things you'll ever do. Just trust yourself, not God. So what happens? The devil said, I'm going to go talk to God about his children. And when he gets there, Jesus is standing there. And the devil says, well, what about these people? And Jesus said, God, those are mine. I got them all taken care of. And God looks down and says, look, those are righteous people. The devil says, no, they're not. God said, yes, they are. The devil says, no, they're not. God said, yes, they are. The devil said, I've had it arguing with you about this. There's going to be a better way for me to get my job done. The devil walks out and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the Christian. I'm going to accuse God to the Christian. And we say, bring it on. Tell me about it, God. Tell me about it, devil. Tell me about what's wrong with God. Tell me that the Bible's not true. Go ahead. I'll listen. And when we listen, we let the accuser get done with us what he couldn't get done with God while God was busy defending us. Oh, then, devil said, it's fun. Devil said, I like this accusing stuff. I like to accuse. I accuse to God, then I accuse God to the Christian. He said, wonder what would happen if I could get the Christians accusing each other. He said, this is going to be the berries. Woo! This will be fun. And that's what he does. Proverbs 17:4, it says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. I want you to notice there, it talks about giving heed and giving an ear. Let me explain to everybody in here. Gossip is a two-way street. It takes a mouth and it takes ears. Mouth and ears. If you say, it just seems like everybody in the church comes to me and talks to me about everything that's going on. You're a bad person. You're a bad person. Why would everybody in the church know they could come talk bad to you? Because, and your pride makes you think you're the savior of the church. They all need me. They all just trust me because I'm so wise. No, you're an idiot. You're an idiot, and you have grown a reputation that you'll listen to slop. The devil then says, I'll get the people and the church to accuse each other. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And in verse 19 it says, he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, people say, well, God loves everybody and God loves everything. That's not what the Bible teaches. God doesn't love everything. Here it says there's some things God hates. You say, God hates murder. Okay, but let me tell you something. Most of you, matter of fact, none of you are guilty of murder. But God said he hates it when you sow discord among the brethren. See, the devil's always trying to cause disunity among the brethren. Thank God for Christmas when everybody's going around saying, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. All that is Christmas wrapping to most people. And God didn't want us to just wait till December 25th to want peace on earth and goodwill to men. We need it July 24th, 2016. We need to have that unity. And let me tell you something. I know of no disunity in our church. None. None. Now, I'm not trying to fix something that's broken. I like keeping things from breaking. God doesn't want you and I, or the devil doesn't want us to get along. The devil, he wants that discord. He wants fussing and offense in the church. He whispers in your ear about someone, I don't think she's sincere. I don't think he's sincere. There's nobody in here that has a sincerity gauge. You don't know who's sincere and who's not. You say, well, I'm sure they're not sincere. And the only reason I believe you might know something about it is because you're a professional at insincerity. You could pick up on insincerity like a flash because you know all about insincerity. But the truth of the matter is, the devil comes and he whispers in your ear, they're not sincere. And what is that? Accusation. Accusation. Oh, when somebody hurts you, here's what you the devil will come to you immediately, and this is proven by the way you react. Somebody hurts you, and in your brain you think, they did that on purpose. You know something? I have been the pastor here for a little over 2.5 years, and I have not watched one single person in this church try to hurt somebody else on purpose. Now, I've watched us make mistakes. I've watched us hurt or offend each other, but I've never watched one person walk into it saying, you know what? I'm about to hurt them, and I'm going to do it on purpose. I've not seen one malicious act. And folks, when it's not malicious, it means then it's a forgivable offense, and it means that, and even if it were malicious, it's a forgivable offense. But I'll tell you something, the devil comes though and he says, they're trying to get you. They're after you. They're trying to destroy you. He knew something. They didn't even realize they did what they did. It wasn't premeditated offense. It happened. But the devil comes and he makes that accusation. The devil is so deceptive, he can accuse one sinner to another sinner and get them to attack each other. Listen. Some of you are manipulative. Let me tell you, the master manipulator is the devil. He will maneuver you against somebody else. You know, there's some of you, you'll criticize somebody for something that they do as something that you used to do. Matter of fact, it'll be something you'll do in 2 weeks from now. But at the moment, the devil whispered in your ear, say something about that. And you say, I'm going to say something about that. Well, you're just guilty of it a week ago. You're so special and righteous and so above everybody else. Accuser. See, the devil went to accuse us to God, and God said, won't hear it. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'll go accuse God to them. And we say, okay, I'll listen. Then he said, we'll even have more fun. I'll get a sinner to accuse a sinner and the sinner to accuse back. He said, we will make a mess of everything. We'll just have a bunch of sinners that can't take care of themselves to let everybody know what they don't like about the human race, of which you are a part. Satan, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour through accusation. The devil sows, you know, let me tell you something. I have to work on this. I think I know so much. I always, all the time, think I'm so smart and I know everything. There are times, one many days ago, I accused Mrs. Owens of something. Now, it wasn't robbing a bank or anything like that, something dumb, but I said, did you do that? And then I realized, why in the world would I talk to her that way? Why would I treat her that way? You know who whispered in my ear? The old devil. And let me tell y'all something. Y'all love it when I confess my sin, don't you? You're still, whoa, yeah, it's worth coming for tonight. Woo! I wonder how many husbands and wives have made statements to one another, causing doubt between one another. Say, where did that come from? The accuser. He's real good at it. Boy, he can cause that tension in marriage so fast. And husbands and wives think they can read one another's minds. I know what you're thinking. Wow. You must be God. Uh-huh. Yeah. Boy, in marriage. And folks, let me tell you something. We can hurt our children the same way. We accuse our children when they're not guilty. There's no foundation for it. because we know so much. You understand, there was a man at the beginning of my sermon that went to prison for 39 years because of false accusation. The accuser. The devil wants followers not to believe in leaders, so he accuses the leader to the follower. Satan aggressively recruits people then to become accusers throughout the congregation. Satan wants choir members to be accusers toward the choir director. Satan wants bus workers to be accusers toward bus captains. Satan wants Sunday school students to become accusers toward Sunday school teachers. Satan wants parents to become accusers toward ministry leaders. Satan wants teenagers to become accusers toward youth workers. And what does he do? He whispers in their ear and says, well, I don't think they're sincere, and I don't think they ought to teach that, and I don't think they ought to say that. And Satan whispers that in your ear, and before long, you're walking around just thinking how bad that person is. Better watch out. There's someone that's out to accuse. Satan's biggest goal among people in the church is to turn them on one another, and especially he'd like to turn them on their pastor. He's just looking for a way to get you out of the church. And when he can't get you out of the church because of some accusation going on between two of you, if he can get you upset with the pastor, now you've got a real valid reason to put your tail between your legs and run. He's a master of accusation. He puts it in our mind to sum someone up and to make a decision about them and to accuse them of guilt. Folks, did you know something? Everybody here is guilty. We're a bunch of sinners saved by grace. The difference is, are you doing it on purpose? Are you trying to hurt? Are you trying to be mean? Are you trying to be destructive? Now, if that be the case, well, you're going to be in trouble with God, and you'll end up being in trouble at church too. But look, if what happened was not malicious, and if what happened was not intended, then we all do that all the time. So, but watch out now. The devil says, I'll go accuse them to God, and God said, I won't hear it. The devil said, well, then I'll go accuse a God to them. And it's too bad, but so many times we then listen to what the devil tries to get us not to believe in God. And the devil said, it'd be even funner if I could get two Christians to accuse each other. Boy, could I really create some chaos that way. Then he said, you know something? I'll tell you what I'll do. If I could accuse you to you, I'll get you to accuse yourself. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said here, I had to put some of the dumb things I did in the past behind me so I could go on and serve God. Paul was having a conversation with himself. Paul had to say to Paul, now you've done some things in the past that were dumb, and if you keep bringing those things up to yourself, you're never going to go forward, and you need to accept the forgiveness of God. Paul was telling Paul, you got to accept the forgiveness of God, Paul, because if you don't accept the forgiveness of God, you're going to stay in the past, and you're not going to go on for victory in the future. But everybody in here, I'll promise you, if you have any conscience at all, the devil comes to you, and he works you over about you. And before long, in all your sincerity and in your goodness, you're saying, I really can't be used of God. I know what I've done. Who told you you can't be used of God? Where's that in the Bible? The accuser said, I'm going to go to this good person, and I'm going to remind them that they know they're not good. And hey, I'll get them to work on themselves. I'll have them so disgusted with themselves, so depressed about themselves, so down and out about their past and their mistakes, they will never rise up and serve God. So he accuses you to you. What is he? He's a master accuser. Can you see? Do you see he knows what he's doing? He tried to get to God, and God said, won't hear of it. If we had all worked that way, we'd be all right. You're supposed to be like God. But when God said, hit the road. Get out of here, buddy. The devil said, you know what I'll do? I'll go to the Christian, and I'll accuse God to the Christian. And he said, I'll go to two Christians, and I'll get them accusing each other. I'm going to figure out a way to get this done. And what I can do, and when there's no Christian around anywhere at all, it's midnight, it's dark, and there's nobody at all, I'll accuse them in their mind to themselves. I will figure out a way to keep them from going forward and being victorious. Paul said, I had to leave my bad past behind me and reach forward to do something great for God. You all understand Paul's past? Paul arrested Christians. Now Paul's standing up and preaching. Do you ever think there was a time when Paul looked out in the crowd and seen some people that he had thrown in jail and now he's going to preach to them? He's going to say, hey, I want you all to know that I love you. You ever think that Paul for a moment said, you know, I want to tell all those people that I love them, but there's that one guy right there. I beat the snot out of him and threw him in jail, and he's got one eye going one direction and one eye going another, and that's because of the way I beat him, and I'm about to tell him I love him, and I wonder if the devil said, Paul, he's not going to believe it. Don't say you love him. Don't believe it. He's not going to believe it. Don't do it. Paul, don't you stand up there and preach. There are people out there that know what you used to be. They watched you. Hey, they watched you as you stood there and watched Stephen stoned to death. I think Paul had to say, devil, you get out of my brain. You're trying to get me to attack me, and I'm nothing, but my God is everything. And God said he saved me and he forgave me and he told me to go serve him, and I'm not going to let you get me to ruin me. The devil accuses us about our past. Hey, you know what he does? He'll not only accuse you about your past. I was thinking about Moses. Can you imagine sometimes how hard it would have been for Moses to serve God? One of, to me, the most powerful man in the Old Testament. But he killed a guy. Oh, and I know Moses had his critics. I mean, we've seen them throughout his ministry. Oh, Moses was going in, step up to speak to 3 million people, and one of his critics said, hey, how's the murderer doing today, bud? Want to go talk to the people? Oh, can you imagine how hard it was? But Moses had to overcome that. And Moses knew what Moses had done. Thank God the devil didn't use Moses' past to keep Moses from having a great future. Don't let him do that to you. But it's not only our sins of our past that the devil will come to accuse you to yourself. The devil will accuse you about your weakness. Your flaws. You have them. You know what they are. There are people in here, I preach on temper, you go, yeah, he's got me again. I preach on your lack of character, you're late, you pay your bills late, you're late for everything, that's a lack of character. And the devil will come to you, you know what your character flaws are. You're lazy, you know your character flaws. So the devil comes to you and says, you are flawed, you can't be used. You have weaknesses. And we're not talking about necessarily what we call vile, nasty sins. We're talking about the weaknesses of life. So, you've decided you will sit on the sideline for the rest of life because you have a weakness. And the devil says, you might as well sit there. You'll just hurt somebody. You'll just embarrass yourself. You'll just mess up. Uh-oh, the devil has convinced you to accuse you and get you not to try. Can I tell you something? If you have character flaws, I want you to try. You say, I might fail. Okay, fail. Then get back up and try again. Then get back up and try again. Then get back up and try again. See, I might embarrass myself. So what? Embarrass yourself. But why don't you decide not to let the devil psych you out and keep you from serving God? He accuses us about our weaknesses. He accuses us about our past. He accuses us about our motives. You know, I want to think, and I try very hard to be sincere. And I'd like to think that I do what I do because I'm serving God. But let me tell you something. The devil will do every once in a while. He'll come to me and he'll say, you really doing this for God? Are you doing this for you? Are you doing this for God? Are you serving God because you love him? Or has this just become your routine in life? You just don't have anything else to do. Or do you really love God? You know, the devil can get us second-guessing ourselves. He comes and he sows stuff like that into our thinking, which causes us to hesitate. And when we hesitate, opportunity bypasses us, and God doesn't get what God should have gotten. Why? Because the accuser came, and he figured out a way to get us to accuse ourselves. He does it with our sinful past. He does it with our character flaws. He does it with our motives, our sincerity. Has the devil played with your mind? Satan is very good. It's confession time. I do pretty good. I don't spend my time doubting God. God has helped me. I've got an element of faith, and I believe God is out there and He's real. So when the devil comes to accuse God to me, I just defend right away. You know, the devil comes to my brain and says, God's forsaken you. I'll say, you get out of here, buddy. God's never forsaken me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. You just get out of here. You're not going to mess with me. I don't spend my time accusing people. I hate accusation. I hate it. I hate it with the passion. I mean, you know, there are sins that will be committed in our church, but when you get to accusing each other of things, that just makes me angry. I just don't like that. But so that one to me, that's not a weakness. The devil and my past, I've learned how to work with. But I'll tell you what, when the devil comes to me and he gets me accusing me, that is so powerful with me, because I know what's right and I know what's good. And when my understanding of good looks at me and says, you don't stack up, I look at it and I say, it's right. The devil comes and says, Jeff Owens, you don't deserve to be a pastor. Yeah. I know that. You don't deserve to preach. No, I know that. You're not good enough to teach people how to be good. Yeah, I know that. But I'm not up here to do it for me. I'm up here to do it for Him. So, hey, by the way, you look at me and say, you're not good enough. I already agree. You say, you don't really qualify, preacher. I agree. You don't even do it well. I agree. But I'm going to do it because I'm doing it for Him. That's why I'm going to do it. And folks, I think decent people will accuse themselves, and in all sincerity, you got to be careful. There's a balance of that humility, and there's also the lie of the devil. There ought to be a part of you that says, yeah, I don't deserve to, but I'm going to go ahead and serve God because God told me I could. Little boy said, well, I know I'm not wonderful, but I know one thing. God made me, and God don't make no junk. And folks, we're not worthy, but God saved us, and we're not junk anymore. We're saved. And the devil, he says, I want to mess all that up. And he does it through accusation. Hey, even salvation. He's an accuser about salvation. He'll say to you, you don't deserve salvation. I'm dealing with a man right now that needs to be saved. He's dying. He's at the hospital. First time I witnessed to him, he said this. He said, I've spent all my life, I'm 67 years of age, I've ignored God, I've not been interested in God, I have no desire for God. He said, and now you come to me and tell me God will save me so I don't die and go to hell. He said this to me. He said, I deserve to go to hell. He said, I don't deserve to be saved. He said, I'm bad, and I know it. I told him, I said, sir, you got the first step of salvation down. But this guy won't let go. Satan has convinced him that he ought to go ahead and go to hell. He's been accused to the point of rejection of salvation. Satan's good at what he does. He is, I call the sermon, the great accuser. We're all guilty of accusing. We accuse our spouses, our kids, our parents, other Christians, employees. We accuse, we accuse, we accuse. Let me tell you all something. That comes from the great accuser. You know why they were so excited in Revelation 12:10 when it says, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down? When you get to heaven and when I get to heaven, that will be gone. You talk about a great spirit. When we get to heaven, now you find a church where there's not a bunch of accusers, got a great spirit in a church like that. you just get accusations started being thrown around in a church.
Whoo!
Holy Spirit runs. The singing is gone. The spirit, the atmosphere, depressing. Heaven will be wonderful because there's coming a day when God's going to say to the accuser, you're done. You're done. I can't wait. But until then, let's live right. Stay aware that there's an accuser. He's a master accuser. You to God, God to you. You to other Christians, you to yourself. Don't let him fool you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Marriages could be helped with this sermon. Relationships in families could be helped with this sermon. Churches could be helped with this sermon. Ministries could be helped with this sermon. Workplaces could be helped with this sermon. Accusation. The accusation upon one another. A bunch of sinners really shouldn't be looking down their nose at a bunch of sinners. Who here tonight would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart. I need to be careful. Not to be an accuser and to be careful about listening to that accusation. Because let's face it. You got to have a mouth and you got to have ears for it to happen. Who would lift your hand to the sky and say, God's spoken to me. I've learned something. I've been challenged tonight. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. Maybe you need to take a moment and come to this old-fashioned altar. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I listen to a little bit too much, and I may say a little bit too much. I don't want the accuser to mess me up. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Name takers, you need to be ready. The accuser of the brethren. The great accuser. Satan went to God to accuse you to God, and God said, I'm sorry, they're saved. I don't want to hear of it. So Satan said, what I'll do then is I'm going to accuse God to them, and we give Satan ear. And that's what causes us to doubt God. Then he said, well, I see that they'll listen. Maybe I can get them to talk about each other and accuse each other. And he found out that worked. I said, you know what, I wonder if I could pull this off when they're all alone. I wonder if I can get them down and steal victory from them when there's no other human being around. And so, he accuses you to you. He gets you to accuse yourself. And he again minimizes your influence. I might need another name taker or two. So if you're not assigned to Sunday night, maybe you could come down and help us take a name or two. You may have to divide up a few of the decision slips. I think there are a few people making public decisions from youth conference. Yeah, just make sure that those decision slips get out there where we need them, get them passed around. If you don't have a clipboard, use a songbook. Yeah, remain standing and let's let God deal with people. There are people yet at the altar. I wonder how many times somebody would have been victorious had the accuser not got the best of them. The accuser comes to you and you're about to attempt to do something for God, and it's good and it's right and God wants you to do it. But the accuser comes and says, you'll fail. You tried once before, you failed. He accused you to you and you believed him. There's some of you, you have vices. You've tried to give up some bad things in your life and you failed at it. And so you decided to try again. Somebody preached on it. You read about it in your Bible. Said, you know, I'm going to try again. And the minute the devil heard that, he said, you know what? I'm going to remind you, you failed. You embarrassed yourself the last time. You hurt yourself the last time. Don't try again. And you backed off. And you let the accuser steal victory from you. Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Yeah, I just remain standing. Do I have another name taker? If I have another name taker, I could use another. Brother Nofsinger, why don't you come up and help me? Would you go out into the hallway and make sure, grab me just a little handful of decision slips out of the usher station in case we need them. Boy, when that old accuser was cast down, I'm sure heaven's angels, I am sure that it was a glorious moment. Just a glorious moment. Be patient. It won't be long. We'll be on our way, but there are yet names being taken and decisions being made. Continue to play, if you will, Sarah. Boy, I remember many a time over the 40 years I've been a preacher where the altar call took 15 and 20 minutes. Why? Because God was doing business. God was changing lives. One more time through the song, please. We're yet taking a name or two. The accuser of the brethren. Thank you, Sarah.